Life has become quite different since Jesus. It was a real roller coaster ride. Each time the disciples thought they had it all figured out, they soon came to realize that since Jesus came into the picture, nothing was predictable anymore. You could pretty well count on him doing things that would keep the temple leaders in a seemingly perpetual state of anger. You could pretty well expect him to break the rules of acceptable Jewish behavior. In some ways, his uncommon behavior had begun to seem normal. And then it went over the edge. He pushed them too far. He disrupted the standards too much, and that resulted in his being crucified. They really hadn't seen that coming. Who would have thought that he would actually die? And just when they got used to that idea, or were beginning to adjust to the thinking that the last 3 years had been wasted, he was raised from the dead. And he returned to be among them. Not just once, but several times. Again, he would not be bound by their expectations. He would not adhere to the predictable. And then he left. He ascended. He returned to his Father, and this time it seemed as though it was for good. Before he left, he reminded them that it was up to them now. It was up to them to continue the work. He empowered them with the Holy Spirit to continue what he had begun. And they did. They went out like they were on fire. The things they did were nothing short of miraculous. They healed people. They brought people in. They shared their experience with all the Jews they came in contact with, and many of them came to believe after hearing what the disciples had to tell them. The community was thriving. Each day, more and more came to believe. Everything seemed to be going just as Jesus would have wanted. They were telling their friends about Jesus, and their friends were coming to believe. At first, it was a fairly comfortable situation. There were folks from the different sects of Judaism who came to believe, you know, like Essenes and Zealots and Pharisees. They were all Jews. They were the chosen ones, the ones that God had liked best from the beginning. Naturally, certain. Those were the ones that Jesus had been sent to redeem. They were, after all, the chosen. Everyone knew that. They certainly knew that. It never occurred to the disciples that the good news of Jesus was meant to be shared with everyone. Gentiles were unclean. They did the most despicable things. The Gentiles were not on their level, not fit to be in their group. They were other. Hadn't Jesus told that Samaritan woman that the bread was for the children and not for the dogs? Oh, yeah. But after that, she said to him, "Yes, sir, but even the puppies get the crumbs that fall under the table." And then after that, he did heal her sick child. Still, to include the Gentiles? To imagine they could be fully included, be on the same level as good, upstanding Jewish men? That was impossible. No matter how unpredictable life had been when Jesus was around, no matter how many norms and rules and regulations he broke, this was unthinkable. They were Jews. They followed the laws. They they kept the codes of purity. They ate nothing unclean and offered the appropriate sacrifices. They had their sons circumcised on the eighth day of their lives. They dotted their iotas and crossed their thetas and knew which fork to use for the salad course. They kept their napkins in their lapkins and never allowed one elbow to creep up on the table. Gentiles did none of these things. They ate pigs like that was a delicacy, and faced with three spoons at a place setting, would have no idea where to begin. God would certainly not want them to be seated next to good-mannered, ritually clean, upstanding Jews. But God would not be bound by their expectations. And since the disciples still didn't seem to understand the wideness of God's mercy, he intervened again. This time, he sent Peter a vision. And since things involving Peter seemed to come in threes, what he saw three times. He was praying, deep in meditation, and in his deep trance of prayer, he saw a sheet coming down from heaven. And on this sheet were all sorts of unclean animals, all mixed together. This vision was certainly enough to make Peter run as far and as fast as he possibly could. This is also apparently an audiovisual vision because a voice accompanied it, a voice that Peter immediately knew was the voice of God. And what this voice told him was to get up, kill, and eat. Peter, although he knew immediately it was the voice of God, did what Peter so often did. He argued. He said, in effect, "I am not going to be tricked into this. I know this is some sort of test, and this time I'm not going to blow it. I will not break the rules. I will not eat unclean animals. I know better." But this was not a test to see if Peter was a good Jewish man. It was a test to see if Peter could open his mind and listen to the direction of God, the direction that God was giving him, direction that went against all the prescribed rules, direction that not only had to do with clean and unclean animals, but more importantly, with clean and unclean people. Peter didn't fail the test this time. He allowed himself to be led by God. He went to the home of a Gentile family and baptized them all. He understood that God's plan for salvation was without limit. And he said to those who remained closed-minded, "If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" And you know, we hear that the closed-minded, rule-following, frozen, chosen were silenced. But then, even they allowed themselves to be open to the reality that God's message, God's saving grace, is truly for all. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. And thanks be to God for that. Because if it were not for Peter and Paul and all those previously closed-minded chosen, very few of us would be here today. We are those Gentiles. We are the ones who would have been kept out. And because of God's boundless, determined love, we have been given the repentance that leads to life." Remember that. Know that and be thankful. If there is one fleeting thought of those who should not be brought in, of those who are outside of God's outstretched arms of love, let this serve as a reminder. God is still working his purpose out so that all will be included and given repentance that leads to life. God will not be bound by our expectations. Thanks be to God. Amen.